The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Today on Ring of Truth with Pastor Dan Sexton.
God commands us to work, and God has a lot to say in the Bible about work. He has a lot to say against laziness and slothfulness and not working. Work is not the result of the fall of man. Work is not part of the curse. And sometimes it is described as that. It is not part of the fall.
No matter how you feel about your job or just work and manual labor in general, it is not part of the penance we pay for the fall of man. Yes, the life of man is imperfect because of the original sin committed by Adam and Eve in the garden. However, work is something God admires. Today, Pastor Dan shares God's words as they relate to work and how it is viewed through his eyes. When you think about the work you are doing, no matter how great or how small, know that God favors those who choose work over laziness. Now here's Pastor Dan in the book of Exodus chapter 20 for today's edition of Ring of Truth.
The word Sabbath, it means to rest. It means to cease. It doesn't mean Saturday. Some people think that. But it doesn't mean Saturday. It means to cease from work or to rest from work. Look at verse 8 again. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, if you have a guest staying in your house. And so the principle here with this Sabbath, the principle is, first of all, the first principle is do all your work in 6 days. Do you see that in verse 9? Do all your work in 6 days, then rest on the seventh day. The seventh day is the Sabbath, when you cease from your work. In verse 10, it says, in it, the Sabbath day, you shall do no work. And the Lord says in verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, to keep it set apart. I've got this day in the week that I keep set apart. It's talking about taking a day off every week. Now, taking a day off every week was something that was unheard of in the ancient world. When this is given to the children of Israel, it was unheard of to take a day off during the week. Now, most of us here probably take 2 days off a week, but you probably are doing work around your house or running errands on one of those days, so it's not really like a true day off for you. Some of you maybe are trying to move to a four-day week. I hope that works out for you. That would be wonderful. In the ancient world, no one took a day off. You worked 7 days a week. And so God is like introducing this whole new concept of a day off from work, a day of rest. Totally new in humanity. Nobody's ever thought of this concept before, where you work 6 days and then you rest on the seventh day. And remember, God is giving this commandment to the children of Israel, who God just recently delivered from slavery in Egypt. The children of Israel labored as slaves for over 400 years in Egypt without a day off. They've never heard of a day off. And if you remember, their original request to Pharaoh was for 3 days off so they could go into the wilderness and worship Yahweh. Can we just have a long weekend, 3 days, and then we'll come back and be your slaves again? They've never had a day off. And now God commands them to do all their work in 6 days and then take a day of rest. And this is to be the pattern for them to follow every week. Work 6 days, rest 1 day. Work 6 days, rest 1 day. Work 6 days, rest 1 day. Now, when we consider this commandment, we usually focus on the Sabbath part. Keep the Sabbath and do no work on the seventh day. But the commandment also commands us to work. Work 6 days. It doesn't say, do whatever you want to do for 6 days and then rest on the seventh day, or goof off for 6 days, then rest. No, it says to work, to labor for 6 days, then rest 1 day. And I point this out to say, God commands us to work. God commands us to work. And God has a lot to say in the Bible about work. He has a lot to say against laziness and slothfulness and not working. Work is not the result of the fall of man. Work is not part of the curse. And sometimes it is described as that. It is not part of the fall. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, before the fall, before Adam sinned, Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, after God created Adam, he put Adam into the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. God created Adam and then put him to work in the garden. We are created for work. We are not created to not work. We're created to work. We shouldn't despise work. We shouldn't try to get out of doing work. We shouldn't revel in being lazy or boast in being lazy. God created us for work. Just want to share a few passages with you. There's a lot, especially in the Proverbs that we could read, but just a few. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, you should aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we command you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside of the church, and that you may lack nothing. You may lack nothing. How do you lack nothing? By working. That's what it's telling us. Work so that you lack nothing. Where am I going to get it from? You're going to get it from work. That's where you're going to get it from. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 18 says, those unwilling to work will not eat. If you don't work, you don't eat. Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. In our work, we do it heartily to the Lord and not to men, because we actually serve the Lord. And there's so many passages in Proverbs about just working, being a hard worker, and God prospers the person who works. And the person who refuses to work, it says, will end up in poverty and will end up in bondage in their labor. Think about the scriptures. You think about when God called David to be king of Israel. What was David doing? He wasn't playing video games. He was watching his father's sheep. He was working when God called him. You think about Elisha, the prophet. He was plowing a field with a team of oxen when Elijah called him. Gideon was threshing wheat when God called him to be a leader. Peter, James, John, and Andrew were fishing, cleaning their nets and repairing their nets when Jesus called them to be disciples. Matthew was working at his tax table when Jesus called him to be a disciple. God uses people who are already working. He doesn't use idle people. And so the first part of this commandment is to labor, to work. Look at verse 9. He says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, and then you rest on the seventh day. You rest on the seventh day. Now, I want to look at a couple verses about the Sabbath day. So turn over to chapter 23. And I want to look at some other verses just so we get a fuller understanding of what the Bible says about the Sabbath day. Exodus chapter 23, verse 12. It says, 6 days you shall do your work, and on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the son of your female servant and the stranger may be refreshed. So this is one of the reasons God gives the Sabbath day. He gives it so you can rest, so you can be refreshed. Right? Remember Jesus said, God made the Sabbath for man to be a blessing, so that you can have a day of rest, so that you can be refreshed physically, mentally, and spiritually by having a day off from all your labor. Now, turn with me over to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus is the next book in your Bible after Exodus, so it's just one book to the right. Leviticus 23, verse 3. Leviticus 23, 3. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of, notice what it says, solemn rest. Not just rest, solemn rest, serious rest, right? On the Sabbath day, you're going to get some serious rest, or the word can be complete rest. This is intended to give you some serious rest, some complete rest on this day off. And look at verse 3 again, and a holy convocation, a holy convocation. Note that in verse 3, the Sabbath is intended for you to get some serious rest, and to enjoy a holy convocation or a sacred assembly. This is why God gave the Sabbath. God gave the Sabbath to man so you can get some serious rest from all your labor and so that you can be part of a holy convocation or a sacred assembly so that you can assemble together with other believers. In other words, so you can go to church. So you can have a day where you can get together with other believers. And you can go to church. That's why he gave the Sabbath.
You're listening to Ring of Truth with Pastor Dan Sexton of Calvary Chapel, Ellicott City, Maryland. We'll return to the second half of today's message in a moment. But first, here's a word from Pastor Dan.
It's my privilege to share the Word of God with you through our radio ministry, Ring of Truth. Thank you for tuning in each day. Hey, I would love to hear from you. Will you take a moment to email me to tell me how these daily studies have ministered to you? I want to hear your story. You can email me through our website at calvaryec.com. That's calvaryec.com.
Thanks, Pastor Dan. Now let's join him again for the conclusion of today's edition of Ring of Truth.
In Hebrews, you don't have to turn there, but Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So there in Hebrews, we're exhorted to assemble together with other believers and not forsake the assembling together with other believers. And this is why God gives the Sabbath, for rest and for worship. For rest and for worship. To cease from all your work, all your responsibilities, all your business responsibilities, all your job responsibilities, all your home responsibilities. To cease from running errands and going here and going there. So that you can rest and so that you can gather together with other believers for worship and Bible study and fellowship. The Sabbath is for refreshing your soul. Now, I don't know about you, but I suspect your life is pretty busy, like mine. And your life can be very hectic and stressful. And here the Lord says, we need a day. You need a day. We need a day. each week when we pause the busyness and the craziness of life and we just rest and we worship and we do nothing else. It's not rest and worship and go to Costco, right? Costco on Sunday afternoons can be just as stressful as work on Monday morning sometimes. There's no rest there. Go back to chapter 20. And again, verse 9, he says, do all your work in 6 days. And catch the drift of what he's saying here. He's saying, get all your work finished in 6 days. Run all your errands, do all your shopping, do all your housework, all the laundry, all your homework. Get it all done in 6 days so you can keep the Sabbath day holy. So you've got this one day in the week that's just set apart for rest and for worship. And in verse 8, the Lord says, in verse 8, he says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And the word remember there, it means to be mindful of the Sabbath day. Be mindful of the Sabbath day all week long. So if Sunday is the Sabbath day for you, be mindful that the Sabbath day is coming up on Sunday. And be mindful of it all week so that you can keep it holy, so you can keep it set apart, so you can protect that day from life encroaching on it. In other words, keeping one day set apart for rest and worship and nothing else, it will require some forethought and some planning so that you can get all your work finished in 6 days, so that your Sabbath is free. Turn over to chapter 34 with me. Chapter 34. And I want you to know, too, I'm trying to figure this out for myself also. Like, I'm wrestling with this. And how do I get everything done in 6 days so I can be free on a seventh day and unencumbered by the demands of life? Now, look at this. Exodus 34, verse 21. 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall rest. Now, look what God adds here. In plowing time and in harvest, you shall rest. You know why he adds that? Because in plowing time, you got to get the fields plowed before the rains come. You got to get the seeds planted. You're under a deadline. During harvest time, you got to get the crops in. You got a little window of time here. And guess what? People might be tempted to say, I can't keep the Sabbath day today. We got to get the crops in. I got to get the fields plowed. I can't go to church this morning. There's too much work to do. I need to go into the office. I got this big report due tomorrow. God understands. And so God says, no, actually, I want you to keep the Sabbath, even in plowing time, even in harvest. I still want you to rest. Even when there's urgency to the need, even if there's a deadline at work, I want you to still keep the Sabbath. Don't allow, please listen, don't allow the urgent things to crowd out the most important thing. And the most important thing is your relationship with Jesus Christ. And life is filled with urgent things. Life is filled with urgent things that demand your time, demand your attention, demand your energy. Don't allow those urgent things to crowd out your relationship with the Lord. Protect your Sabbath rest, no matter how urgent the need may be. Protect it. Turn over to chapter 35, the very next chapter. Look at verse 1. Then Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said to them, these are the words which the Lord has commanded you to do. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day shall be a holy day for you, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. Look at verse 3. You shall kindle no fire throughout your dwellings on the Sabbath day. He says, I don't even want you starting a fire on the Sabbath day in your dwelling place. Now, why would they do that? To cook a meal. So what if it said here, don't turn on your oven on the Sabbath. I don't want you turning on the stove on the Sabbath day. Again, the command is get all of your work finished in 6 days so you can just rest and worship on this one day and not do anything else. And that includes preparing the meals the day before so you don't have to think about preparing a meal on the Sabbath day. Get it prepared the day before so you don't have to cook on the Sabbath. Well, you know, everyone else in the house is resting on the Sabbath, but mom is in the kitchen preparing a meal, and it's not a day of rest for her while everybody else is sitting and watching the game or whatever. Do you see what he's saying here? To the children of Israel who are reading this when it's written, don't start a fire. Well, how am I going to cook lunch on the Sabbath? What are we going to do for dinner? That's the point. God is saying, I don't even want you cooking a meal. Do that in 6 days. On the seventh day, you've got to keep it holy. You've got to protect it. You've got to guard it because quickly you can start working and it can be stressful and there's nothing restful or worshipful about it. And you lose the whole purpose of it. In Israel today, the Sabbath begins at sundown on Friday evening. So what happens is on Friday afternoon, businesses begin to close down around 2 p.m. so that people can get their last-minute errands and last-minute shopping finished so they can have all of their work finished before the start of the Sabbath. So everything closes down a few hours early and people will quickly go to the market or whatever they need to do so that they can be home in time for the Sabbath. And what they will do is the people will make a big meal before the Sabbath begins, like in a crock pot, so they can eat that meal all day long on the Sabbath. They'll make sandwiches. They have it just, it's all prepared. It's all ready so that on the Sabbath we can just rest. We don't have anything to do. You know, mom doesn't need to cook dinner. It's already cooked. And it's everything is just prepared the day before. So everybody can just rest on the Sabbath day. And then what they'll typically do is once the Sabbath begins at sundown, you'll see them, they'll all walk to the synagogue. The synagogue's usually in their neighborhood. And they'll all walk together, these big families where you've got grandparents and aunts and uncles and neighbors and small children and old people. Everybody's walking through the neighborhood. They're going to their synagogue. Usually they're singing songs, worship songs, as they're going. They go to church. They go to the worship service, you know, at the synagogue, and then they all go back home and just rest and enjoy each other's company. They're all sit outside on the steps and talk, and the kids are there, and they're talking, and the old people are talking with each other, and the younger people are talking, and the teenagers are together, and everybody's just there, and there's food, and you can go get some food when you're ready. Just make yourself a bowl, and other people that can afford it, they'll check into a hotel with your whole family, your whole extended family, and cousins and nephews and nieces and uncles and aunts and neighbors, and everybody checks into a hotel together and have different rooms, of course. And then you eat in the dining room in the hotel. And while they're sitting in the dining room, everybody's singing. Or some of the older men will get up and they'll share scripture and read scripture, read a prayer. And you'll see the older men going over to the table with the teenagers and talking to them and sharing scripture with them. And somebody will break forth in song over here and somebody will break forth in song over there. And it's just a time of rest.
He asked me how I know, and I say, rings truer than the finest crystal.
With everything you could have listened to today, we're honored you chose Ring of Truth. Whether it's your first time or your 100th time listening, we know that the Word of God brought a fresh perspective to your corner of the world. Did your faith grow with this message, or did it leave you with questions? If you find yourself with questions, please go to calvaryec.com to contact us so we can answer those questions. You can easily and securely fill out the form found under the Question tab. Columbia, Maryland is home base for Ring of Truth episodes, and we want you in our community. So if you're close, let's meet face-to-face. Sunday service times along with midweek service times are available on our website, calvaryec.com. Make sure to mark your calendar to come. For those of you too far away, don't be discouraged. Use our live stream to still be a part of our family. Don't leave our website without looking at the other resources we have provided to strengthen your relationship with Jesus. Before our time is up, would you consider financially donating to this ministry? There are so many more lives to touch for Christ, but we can't do it alone. If you felt a tug at your heart to support us in this way, information can be found on our website, calvaryec.com. Come again for the next edition of Ring of Truth.
I see the signs and I recognize the hands that craft and am. Well, I know because I know His voice, and it only takes willingness and a conscious choice. You need not guess, there's a ring of truth that is unmistakable, a knowing that you cannot find alone. And if you listen carefully, and sometimes even if you don't, you can hear the sound. Whoa. He asked me how I know, and I say it rings true.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.